Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. On today's episode, the dudes discuss the power of reframing, improving your outlook, and putting a positive spin on your experiences. Building on insights from the past two episodes, they reflect on the importance of shifting perspectives and finding gratitude even in the face of extreme adversity. Please enjoy episode 80 of the Rude Dude Pod. To the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you that haters are going to hate, but you are loved. We are your favorite recovering alcoholics, Cameron, the Cree Davis, and Henny, Hen Lokes, the Lobster, Lobman X, Sheridan. I'm here with my pal. Pal, how you doing, pal?
Sheridan, dude, that's fucking legit, dude. I'm doing Sheridan. Good, bro. It's October 3rd and it's 101 degrees outside. We're fucking living the dream. It's real fall vibes out here today, dude.
Wait, but what was it yesterday?
It was 102, dude. It was 102.
I thought it was like 109.
No, it wasn't 109, dude. If it was 109, I don't know what I would do with myself, bro. But we got 98, 99, 98 coming, and then I guess like we'll be graced with some 72 degrees. But yeah, it's very very spooky over here in California, dude. But I'm doing good, man. How are you doing? Good to see your face, brother. It's very exciting.
I don't live in the devil's anus, so we are in the throes of fall. We had like a high of like 78 today. And it was like 61 and breezy. It's very, very delicious fall vibes out here. I went to Jacob's Ladder. Well, we'll just jump right into it. I got to talk about my day because what a day I've had. First of all, as you could tell from the hype ass intro, I'm happy to be back.
Yes. It's fucking
happy
nice
to be here.
That.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. We had Deb in town last week. I let my partner carry the load all on his face. and I must say, brother, you carried it. You carried it well.
Thanks,
Rachel's episode, I think it's my favorite episode, and I'm not like being hyperbolic. She's so fucking cool, and her attitude is so incredible. There's so many parallels to recovery with her disability, and we are going to get into that. But that episode was incredible. My mom was listening, and we listened on the way to the airport. We couldn't turn it off. We couldn't get enough. So we wanted to get back in the car so we'd keep listening. It was so fucking good. So you guys, if you haven't listened to that, I'm not even playing around. I wasn't even a part of it. And I think it's incredible. Not because it's my show. It actually, what was interesting is listening to it. And I don't know how to say this because I think our show is good. I don't think it's bad. But listening to it, I was like, oh, this is like this is better. This sounds like a professional. I don't know what it is about her. She's well-spoken. She's articulate. Her fucking, like I said, outlook is incredible. I was like, this is like the world needs to hear this. This is better than our show. Dude, I don't know. That's just how I felt.
Bro, I got to say, man, like I told you on the text line, man, like out of all of the interviews that you had to miss, I was literally sitting here like shedding internal tears. I was like, oh, bro, dude, he's missing this fucking episode because ready. Like I've seen her around, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's around with Michael and shit. Like I've talked with her, but not to that extent. And yeah. To get her to open up like that, all of a sudden it was like, oh, holy shit. Like, oh, we're doing this. So I'm glad that you guys had that fucking outlook. I had a few other things like Casey, one of our super fans was crying in the car over it. And he says like the last few episodes make him cry. He's like, why am I crying while I'm listening to your podcast? I was like, good, dude, that's the fucking goal, brother. We want fucking tears, dude. But we'll jump more into Rachel's. You tell us a little bit about your day real quick.
Also, your solo episode with the list of things Ashley, things you did to Ashley was incredible. We're also going to get into that. But that was also really good. I think that was your best solo episode. It was top notch content all the way through. You had your funny little zips. You had your intense moments. It was really awesome. So well done, brother. Thanks, well done. Man. Seriously. Thanks, my day. Man. Quite the day. The most ultimate elite day one may have ever had. So it started at 7 a.m. at Grandma's Country Kitchen. I met up with Dr. B and Brandy, who Dr. B owns Jacob Ladder. Brandy is a counselor there. And then there was about 10 of us from Jacob's Ladder every first Thursday of the month. They do a JL alumni breakfast. They do it at 7 so people can go to work after. Word. So we met there. We saw brothers. We hugged. We talked. We ate a good meal. For free, and we got some recovery and love and happiness, and something major that I'll announce in a moment. Then Brandon and Aaron, who works for me, and I all went to the gym, worked out. Then we went to work. One of my buddies that has a roofing company called me and said he had a job he wants me to come look at. So around lunch, I went and looked at a job, went back, worked some more. After work, actually, I dropped off some supplies at the B&B, and then I looked at another job. So I got two jobs out to bid right now, new today, or that I need to bid. And then I stopped by Aldi's, grabbed some groceries. That's like Food Max for you West Coasters type of place, type of joint. Okay. And then now we're recording the podcast, and then we have Thursday night football, and it should be a pretty good game. Dude, so quite the full day.
Dude, what a day.
And it fills
dude.
My heart with joy.
Dude, that's just like one of those like super awesome days that just start off on the right fucking note, right? Like it just like kicks off and then all of a sudden everything's going right. What'd you have for breakfast, dude? Tell me, did you have like biscuits and gravy or something? Make my heart happy. What'd you have?
I got a sausage mess. So what we would call a scramble on the West Coast, they call a mess around here. So I had like potatoes, sausage, onions, peppers, blah, blah, blah. I wanted the chicken fried steak, but I knew we were going to the gym. So I opted out of that. Heaviness.
That's actually probably pretty smart, dude. You know, my brother's notorious for the chicken fried steak. And actually, it makes sense because he's starting to look like a chicken fried steak. Justin, you need to get in the gym or something, dude. But there's nothing better than like a fucking breakfast dish that is just slathered with gravy and green Tabasco sauce and like a plethora of pepper. Like, dude, let me get runny eggs.
Not a Tabasco, man.
Oh, dude, green Tabasco sauce, dude. Like, dude, pour it in my mouth, dude. Like,
I could do green, but yeah. I still don't like it. I'm a Cholula Tapatio man myself. Okay.
Yeah, the green Tabasco with sausage gravy and black pepper, bro. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm over here, like, salivating. Well, that's awesome, dude. That sounds like an awesome day, dude. I'm glad that you had a good day. It's been a little rough around here. We got sick kids per usual, per protocol. So, grandma's up all night coughing. It just never
fucking died. Pink eye is in route.
Dude, don't put that on me. I got fucking sinus pressure and a headache now. So, my time is coming, dude. I'll be dead by next week. So, don't worry about it.
Well, we have to tell the people the most elite news from the most elite day.
Yeah, dude.
We got a big pull. We got a big pull, son.
Tell them about it.
So I'm at breakfast with the fellas and Dr. B, who is the owner of Jacob's Ladder. And he goes, "How's the podcast going, man?" I'm like, "It's good." You know, I start shooting some stats at him, wowing him with numbers. And he's like, "When are you going to have me on?" As if I wouldn't fucking have my guy on. And I was like, next Wednesday, 7 p.m., are you good? And he's like, kind of non-committal. And I'm like, look at your fucking calendar, brother. Pencil me in. Next Wednesday, 7 p.m., can you make it work? And he's like, yeah, I think I can make that work. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Dude. And I was talking to my guy, Aaron, on the way. Because Doc B's like that. He's busy. He's got a lot of shit going on. And he'll be like, yeah, you know, and then, you know, stuff happens. I get it, whatever. But I'm like, my brother in Christ, I need you. And I was talking to Aaron about it. He's like, why haven't you asked him? And I was like, dude, it's not that I don't want him. Like, he's on top of my list of people that I want. But yeah, there's this like intimidation factor. He's a doctor. He's very busy. He owns, you know, several different businesses. He's got his shit going on. He's got a practice. He's got the rehab, blah, 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 blah. So there's this like element of me being a little afraid to ask him, knowing he's busy, all this. But as soon as he was like, when are you going to have me on? I'm like, motherfucker, the seat is saved for you, brother. Anytime, you're fucking welcome.
Dude, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this, dude. We were fucking, you're just sitting there fucking salivating, bro. Like,
hold me now.
Because I'm 6 feet from the edge. And now, dude, you know, speaking of songs, dude, you know what I was listening to today? D12 Purple Pills, dude. Yeah. For some reason, that came across, dude, and I was jamming. Yo.
Why was Bizarre always talking about fucking his mom or something?
Dude, yeah, dude. And why was he always talking about like raping people's assholes and shit, dude? He's like the Diddy of Detroit, man. It's just wild.
These Gen Zers could never, dude.
Could never, dude. And
do you ever see the reaction videos of them listening to like old school Eminem?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's one they're of my like, favorite pastimes.
Oh my god, what the oh my bro, their dude, little heads like, explode
like kill you. Yeah, dude, like that's the one where he's talking about chopping people up with fucking chainsaws and shit, dude. That's the best.
Yeah,
that's the best. Nothing brings me more joy. But yeah, dude, that is super
oh now
exciting.
He's raping his own mother, abusing a horse, snorting coke, and we gave him the Rolling Stone cover. They're like, what?
Goddamn, like, bitch, and I was too late. Triple platinum and tragedy happens in two states.
Sorry, anyway, yeah, Dr. B, double ADHD, wet brain.
Hey, we come from the Eminem generation, dude. But yeah, that's gonna be fucking awesome, dude. I'm gonna like make sure that I'm dressed up nice for that. So everybody, look forward, dude. Way to go by just like forcing your hand over there. Like, hey, look at your schedule, and we're gonna make it happen. So I appreciate you getting after him, long dick style, dude. I'm looking forward to that. I'm a little nervous too.
Right. Well, and as a preface, he is an actual medical doctor. He owns he has a string of urgent cares. Well, it used to be a string. I think he sold it. Now he has another one. But anyway, he's the founder and owner of Jacob's Ladder, along with his wife. He has a son who was an addict, and that prompted him. His son's name is Jacob, to create Jacob's Ladder. He also they have the Netflix documentary. He does a lot of like speaking tours, speaking engagements. He pushes for legislature. He's huge in trying to get recovery to the masses, trying to help with legislature around recovery, grants, blah, 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 blah. So he has a lot of thoughts and opinions on recovery and how it should be done and what needs to be better and so on and so forth. So that should be really, really cool. Really sharp guy. And him and his wife are fucking saints. I don't think they make a dollar off the rehab. It's and they let people in on scholarships all the time because they actually fucking care about people. And so they're awesome people, and be very excited.
Bro, I have an erection, dude. I can't wait for that. That's fantastic, dude. That is fantastic. That's going to be awesome. Jacob's Ladder is a good name, too. That's got like a little like a Bible history to it. That's a Bible name. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So let's get into it, dude. What did you want to talk about with Rachel's episode, brother? What stood out
well,
for you?
There were so many great nuggets. One of the things that I felt like she kept coming back to was, slowing down. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it in recovery. I personally talk about it. But it also put it in perspective for me when someone in her situation, which she was an able-bodied active person, actually her accident was mountain biking. So obviously she's like an outdoorsy type person. She's now paraplegic in a wheelchair. If you haven't listened, shut this fucking episode off right now and go listen, and then turn this episode back on.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude. Shattered, but strong with Rachel Rogers. You need to listen to that episode.
Welcome back. I'm glad you listened. I know you liked it. We're getting back to it. Slowing down. So it's like we all know that it, you know, the stop and smell the roses and stuff. But then if you think of it from the perspective of like someone who was an able-bodied person and now is bound to a wheelchair and everything that comes with that, and her saying it, it just like held more weight for me. And I guess it made me like, God, if she can find gratitude for small things and still have this positive outlook and still stop and smell the flowers, like I fucking really need to. Like the whole part about her getting into her car by herself and how long it takes her, like things we take for granted. And I was just like, it just, the whole thing about that episode was like perspective, and her perspective is fucking incredible. And it made me feel like a piece of shit for not being more grateful for everything that I have, you know?
Yeah, dude. And it's so easy, right? Like, I think that episode really kind of highlighted how simple it is for us to go about our day in robot mode, right? And what she was imploring people to do, or what she was doing for herself moving forward, is, hey, it's as simple as watching kids play soccer, right? Like, it's as simple as doing these things. She has to find joy in other ways. And for her, one of those ways is like you just described, right? It's slowing down and appreciating the small things. The car story absolutely broke my fucking heart, right? Like, and I think I even mentioned it. I think I even mentioned that at the end of the episode, right? Like I get pissed off having to get into my fucking car, right? Like sometimes. Well, dude, it's not taking me 20 fucking minutes to get in my fucking car, right? And dude, I shit you not, like Rachel's a small woman, bro. Like she literally is, I swear to you, 120 pounds maybe. Very petite, very small. And it's a big, heavy.
She's lost the use of most of her ab muscles.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally diaphragm down. Yeah, and like, and this humongous wheelchair, and you got to get this in a little compact SUV. She drives like one of those like newer RAV4s. Like, good luck, dude. Good luck. And the fact that she does that, and then sharing how, you know, she has those concerns, like, oh, people are gonna abandon me and shit. Like, dude, some of the things that she opened up about was just so raw and so fucking real that it literally like it simultaneously broke my heart and made me smile at the same time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. When I shared on Facebook, I said something like, this is the most simultaneously heart-wrenching and heartwarming story like you'll ever hear.
Hey, that's where that last line from me just came from, dude. It was like sizzled into my brain. I'll take credit for it. All right, I came up with that.
It was fire. another thing she said that we also say in recovery is we get to. So instead of we have to, we get to. It's like, mm-hmm. and when it happened, I was listening with my mom when she talked about that part. And I told her, like, as an aside, I was like, we say that too. And it's easy to forget because we'll be like, man, I have to go to work. But these things that we're complaining about having to do now, especially once you get some time into recovery, are things we prayed for when we were sick. Like, mm-hmm. I get to go to work and it's hard to do, you know, like, I have to mow the lawn. Well, motherfucker, you have a house with a lawn and you have a lawnmower. Like, that's pretty cool. I get to mow my lawn. I have a house. I get mm-hmm. to go to a meeting because I'm clean and I have a vehicle and I have time and I have friends at the meeting, you know, like, and it's hard to do. I'm not saying I sit here and do it every day. But it's a nice reminder, you know, as a lot of that was, again, like perspective, you know, I get to go to work. Well, when I was, you know, fucking up and had no money and had no job and laid around drunk all day, like I wasn't too stoked on that. I probably would have liked to feel good and go to work, you know?
Yeah, dude.
So
yeah.
Again, that perspective, man, and just flipping it and turning it into something to kind of be grateful for, you know?
You know, I always love, that's one thing that you do say that you've said before on here was, you know, these are the things that we prayed for, right? And it's so true, right? Like I can sit here and you know, complain about, oh, hey, I know I have sick kids again, right? Well, dude, the blessing is that I'm even fucking sober enough and I even convinced a woman to want to have kids with me after the state I was in fucking, you know, almost 7 years ago. You know what I mean? And I'm very lucky that my kids have a cold and not, you know, something like autism or cancer or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and those are those small things that if we don't do what we talked about in the earlier little thing by pausing and fucking, you know, just taking it slow, then those little small gratitudes we'll just fucking float on by, dude. They'll just float on by. Like we just get in. Now this is our new norm. And so now that I'm in my new norm, instead of when we were drunk bitching about things that were happening to us when we were fucking drunk because everything was fucking chaos, now we're just bitching about everyday life things. When really we should be fucking looking at it and going, dude, this is fucking beautiful, man. This is fucking beautiful. Some days I do it, but it is fucking hard, bro. You're right.
The quality of your problems is improving.
Shout out Randall Brown, dude. Shout out.
Yes, sir. They'll be like, dang it, Randall. My, I got to get the oil changed on my car. The quality of your problems is improving. Because it used to be like, I hope no police see me because I got warrants and shit. You know what I mean? Like, and another, like, I don't want to make this, I don't want to make this into a, like a monetary whatever, or like I'm trying to flex. But one thing I just thought of was like, my truck payment, it's very expensive. Right. And I can complain about that.
Yep.
Or I can also remember I went with one of my friends down to San Antonio to help him work on his house. And we used that Turno, which is like Airbnb for cars. And we rented a Raptor and it was sick as fuck. And we were like, one day we're going to have Raptors. This thing's fucking sick. One of these days. And it was like a pipe dream, right? Like I have one now. I could either complain about the price or I can be like, I literally like prayed for this. I literally put this on my bucket list and now I have it. Like I can be grateful for that. It's the same thing too. Like I have rental properties and let me tell you what, tenants can be really fucking annoying. Hey, my electricity bill went up. Yeah, it's been 100 degrees all week. We all run our ACs. Mine went up too. And so did everyone else in this town. You know, anyway, I digress, but I can complain about it, right? And be pissed off, like, I don't, this fucking lady, blah, blah, blah. But I also at one time said, what I would like to do is own rental properties and collect money from my properties and not have to work a regular job and do that, fix up my problem, whatever. That's what I'm doing. So, And I even like had this conversation with my dad. I was like, I don't want to fucking be a landlord anymore. It sucks. It's terrible. I don't want people up my ass about this, that, and the third. And I'm like, and I had to like flip it and say like, well, you're either complaining about your tenant texting you and complaining about something, or you're complaining about your fucking boss at your 9-to-5 that you hate going to every day, or you're complaining about your shitty coworkers who don't do anything. You have to do all the, like, there's a problem in every job. Everybody gets annoyed by their job, but like, this is what you asked for. This is what you wanted. So be grateful for the problems that you have, because you could have, like before when you were working for this other guy, you had to do everything. Your helpers were no help. The fucking guy who you worked for said it was never fast enough, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like choose your heart. There's always issues, but also you prayed for this. You asked for this. This is what you wanted. And I'm starting to believe, while we're on the subject, in like manifesting, because I wrote down that I would have 3 properties and I do. And I wrote and I said to the universe that I wanted a Raptor and I have one. And like these things that, you know, I wanted to be working on my own properties and working, and I'm doing, like, bro, I swear to God, you put it out there, you talk about it, and you fucking make it happen, dude.
Dude, I think those are those blessings of recovery, right, dude? Like that's the shit that they always talk about, right? Like, dude, the good just keeps coming, and by no means is like the trip to the good all cakes and fucking pies, like you said, dude. Like oh, hey, my electricity bill went up or something like that, right? Like, dude, there's always gonna be some shit, but remember what you wanted before you got it. You know what I mean? Like, it'll go right back to our original fucking opening little segment in this show, right? That takes, the only time you can recognize that is if you slow down, right? Like you just kind of explained, right? Like, fuck, I gotta make, Yeah, like, oh, fuck, I got to make this fucking goddamn truck payment. It's fucking hella expensive. Oh, fuck, this tenant's up my fucking ass. Oh, fuck, like, it's 101 outside. Like, dude, you won't recognize that shit unless you pause. So, yeah, dude, don't, if anybody else is struggling with that, don't, you know, give up on what you originally wanted. And sometimes, I think there's a caveat to that, sometimes what you wanted might not be what you wanted, and you might have to pivot, right? Like, and only you are in charge of that. So you'd be like, hey, I thought I wanted to do this. I got it. And I should be proud of myself for achieving that goal, but this just ain't for me. And that's for you to decide. But, you know, by no means should that dissuade you from chasing your dreams and remembering what you wanted when you started.
Absolutely. I'm sorry too. I went on like a random little mini rant there, but
that's what it's for.
Reframing, man. Brandy talks about that, who we're trying to get on to from Jacob's Ladder, and I think he'll be on here soon. But when I went up there the second time, he was big on that reframing. Like, how can you take this thing that you're complaining about and reframe it? And let's do this exercise real quick, because I would love to see how you can reframe 101 being a good thing. Yeah, can you do it?
I can't. I can't, dude. It's October fucking 4th, bro. There's no justifying.
Hold on, brother. I've got a house with a nice AC unit that blows cold that I can afford to turn on.
That's true.
Gratitude. Banshees.
Excuse me. Yes, that's true. I have AC. I am in a house. I am not one of the homeless population out here in California. I have the sun's out. I could be in North Carolina with my house flooded. You know what
yes,
I mean? Like
see?
from all that shit. So yes, there is wonderful. Yeah. There is one of the things I could go out there and get melanoma if I wanted to. And you know, that would be legit. So I am grateful for that. You're right.
And shout out to, those in the Carolinas and Florida and stuff. We hope all of you are safe and secure and have power and food and water and stuff.
Bro, that's fucking crazy.
It's wild, dude.
Dude, like that's fucking crazy shit, dude. Like just the way that the water got in there so fucking fast. I know this is way off topic, but I mean, like, dude, like that's fucking insane. I've been watching all those like reels of everything that happened, and I was like, dude, my anus was just fucking so tight, dude. I was like, oh, dude, I'd be having a panic attack. I'd be on the roof, like, or I'd be like 7 fucking life jackets deep, like trying to get out of there because I'm freaking the fuck out. Like it would be all bad, dude. I'm dying for sure in that situation. Cause I got to get the fuck out of here.
The last thing on Rachel's episode that I wanted to touch on was the parallels between addiction and disability, and recovery. With zero stretch of the imagination, she's in recovery, and everything she described was exactly what we do, which, you know, she was like, you were like, what, how do you, you know, what helps you or whatever? And she's like, you get with people who have done this before, who know what this is. Yeah. And she's like, you get with people who've been in a chair for 20 years. And like, yeah, you get with somebody who has 10, 15, 20 years of recovery, and you ask them how they did it. And you ask them how they got through this or how they got through. And it was the same. So support groups, you know, meetings and people who've done it before. And it was super interesting to me because, like, literally everything she described about her recovery process is just the same thing that we do in recovery.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was super eye opening, dude, and it made me super happy that those things were available to her, right? But you hit the nail right on the head, man. It was like almost verbatim, like, hey, when I'm having a bad day, I reach out to my people, right? I go and she even explained a scene that I could see, right? Like, I used to be in a group that was full of a bunch of negative people, and you can think about how you walk into a fucking meeting and everybody's down and they got their dicks in the dirt and everybody's sad and it's all, they'd be like, oh, I hate this fucking place, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And then she found a new group of people who are living lives and are there to help each other, and it's crazy how that is. There's another thing I really wanted to highlight on that I totally forgot, but it's been bugging me all day, and I'm gonna rant for a second. After listening to that episode, and by the way, if you haven't listened to it, get your fucking ass over there and listen to it now. we all have no excuses, bro. We all have no excuses. This goes for for every single fucking person. Every single fucking person in recovery. Yeah. Work your fucking program, dude. If you have something that is bothering you, reach out to the people that can help you and fucking take care of it. Because what are we going to do, right? Rachel's stuck in a chair, right? She's stuck in a fucking chair. And some days she doesn't even leave bed because she's so depressed about being stuck in a fucking chair, right? So for even our normies, right? Oh, hey, I have some trauma I'm dealing with. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to sit here and we're going to fucking just play like the small violins that I always like to fucking bring up? Or are we going to fucking do something about it? Oh, hey, I have this anxiety issue. Well, what are we going to do about it? Same thing with addicts. Same thing with people in disability, right? I have to find a new way to live my life in a positive way. Or you're just going to stay stuck in that fucking mire. And if you choose to stay stuck in that fucking mire, I have very little sympathy for it. I do, because you know what? It took a hell of a lot for people like Hen and I to dig ourselves out of the fucking trenches, and everybody else in recovery who listens to this show. And it took anybody else who digs themselves out of, maybe they were sexually abused or fucking, you know, who knows? Or you were riding a mountain bike and you landed on your fucking head and now you can't walk and you're 33 years old. But she has to find a new way to move forward. So you have no excuse to be sitting there resting on your fucking laurels. We all have some form of an affliction. Now get out there and fucking do something about it. And I really just, I didn't mean to get all fucking hot and heavy, but I can't stand the victim mentality. And that goes for everyone, man. I see it with normies all the time. Oh, I'm going to do this. I gotta go get therapy. Then go get some fucking therapy, dude. Go get some fucking therapy. Oh, I got to do this. My anxiety's out of control. Well, go talk to somebody about it. Do something. Do something, because if I didn't fucking take the initiative, or you or anybody else, to do something, I'd be dead. Right. And maybe it's not that serious for people without addictions or disabilities or anything like that. But dude, it kind of is. Like, you're ruining your life by staying in your darkness. So take this as an initiative, because I'm up your fucking ass. Go and fix yourself. Do the work. I promise you it's worth it. And we're here to support you. So there, I had to get that off my chest. I can't stand the victim mentality anymore, bro. It drives me fucking nuts.
Dude, I'm with you all the way. I don't have take any exception to anything you just said. And the thing is,
well, thank you.
You can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. A and B, you also don't want to. Like, if you're trying and you're working on it and I see you trying, I want to help you. But if you're just giving up and expecting everyone else to do everything for you, I don't fucking have anything for you. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, on a similar line of what you were just saying, when I said the support group of the wheelchair. So you're not an addict, you're not a paraplegic, but you lost a loved one, let's say. There are fucking groups for that. There's groups for everything. You could find it on a Facebook group. You can Google it. You can whatever. Whatever your affliction is, you and a million other fucking people literally have that affliction. So find them and talk to them. Like, if you're an overeater, or you're have anxiety, or you had a bad accident, you have PTSD, there's fucking groups and people for all, and free resources. I guarantee you there's a free Facebook group right now that you could find to go find friends and find your people and talk about your shit. So, like, whatever you do, don't fucking keep it in. Don't sit with the victim mentality. And, like, you're right, dude. I, listening to Rachel, I was like, I'm a piece of shit forever complaining, because this woman, and when she was like, stuff's really hard for me to do in a wheelchair, but what's so cool about it is now I get to be creative and find new solutions of how to do things that people say I can't. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, that's incredible. That is the most incredible thing. Like, how do you, like, and that's reframing. That's what we were just talking about. Like, oh, it's so cool that it's impossible for me to do this thing because I'm in a wheelchair, but I get to figure out how and tell everybody, haha, fuck you. You said I couldn't, and look at me doing it.
Exactly, like, dude. Exactly. And dude, are you going to stay in your fucking sad darkness, or are you going to pull yourself out, dude? I mean, it's really that fucking simple. Great call on the Facebook groups. Yeah, dude, there are plenty of fucking people out there dealing with the same shit that you're dealing with that are there to actually be a helping hand. I can promise you. I can promise you that. Henry knows. How many fucking random strangers have you met in recovery that came out and, like, offered to give you their phone number and be like, hey, yeah, call me anytime. And they actually mean it. And I know that there are a million of people just like that. Rachel explained the same exact scenario, right? Like, people like that will pick up the phone to talk to you, who understand you, who will, if they don't understand you, are going to try to understand you. So do yourself a favor and live your best life. Don't be walking around here with all that fucking baggage and all that fucking shit. Go do something about it and live this free life. And so, yeah, dude, that part just got me fired up. And that was hella cool when she said, now I get to do it in a new way. Like, dude, like, what a fucking mindset, bro. What a mindset. Like, dude, I almost thought about, like, pitching her, be like, hey, you want to come on here and be a fucking third fucking host, dude? You're so good.
Dude, that was like the Forest or the what was our other buddy from Jeremy. Elevate, my buddy Jeremy, and her. I was like, yep, she could just take over the show. She's got it.
I think she should be a therapist. I think that's her calling, dude. I was like, that should be her calling. You should be a therapist. She could. She's so mindful and so cognizant.
And another thing that she said that we do in recovery that's so important that reminded me of an interaction I just had the other day with my sponsor. She was like, you just talk to somebody and like get outside yourself. And we talk about service work and helping others. And a lot of times you'll hear sponsors say, my sponsees help me more than I help them. And I didn't understand that at first, but there's something to getting outside of yourself and getting outside of your own problems. The other day I was having a terrible fucking day. I was really pissed off and I called my sponsor, and my sponsor was going through some shit. He was having a bad day and he started talking about his shit. And I was like, oh, really? Well, maybe you could do this. Did you think about that? You know what you should try? And we could do this. And all of a sudden I was like enjoying this conversation with this person that I love. And I forgot about my shit. I was helping him with his shit. And then I was like, my day doesn't seem so bad and everyone has problems. And I got to step outside of myself and my little horse blinders on how, oh, boo, boo, bee, boo, I didn't have any change for the fucking parking meter or whatever I was crying about, you know? And that's like, I implore you, some people have trouble reaching out and talking about their problems. But if you're having a tough day, you don't even have to talk about your problems. Call your best friend, ask them what's going on with them, and just have a conversation. And you, if you don't feel like talking about it, don't talk about it. Talk about what's going on with them. Call your best friend, call somebody you love, call, you know, and reach out and just get outside of yourself and this little box of fucking anger and problem and frustration that you're in, and just get outside of yourself and talk to somebody, see what's going on with them, and maybe you can help them. And then your fucking problems don't seem so heavy. They don't seem so important, and you just feel better just talking to someone you love and getting outside yourself.
Absolutely, dude. One of my sponsor's favorite go-tos at the end of fucking any time I'd call him or meet up with him is, thanks for keeping me sober today, Cameron. And I'd be like, well, at first I was like, dude, what the fuck does that even mean, bro? Like, what do you mean? How am I keeping you sober? But dude, it's so true, right? Because it keeps him on the straight path, right? Like, he's involved talking with another alcoholic about alcoholic shit, and like, and not even about like drinking per se, because if you're a veteran in the recovery fucking the recovery world, it's not even a substance thing. It's just like, it's more like behaviors, right? Like Henry can kind of explain, if I could be like, you know, imagining, that's like old addict behavior, like quick to respond with anger and shit. Like, now I'm pissed off and now I'm playing the victim and now I'm doing all this fucking shit that's addict shit. That's alcoholic shit. And when you sit there and you talk to somebody who did the same shit, it's so helpful, dude. It's so helpful. And there's nothing better than being able to just like be a listening ear for somebody else, right? I enjoy doing that shit. Like, here, talk to me, dude. Like, lean on me, bro. I am the bridge over troubled water for you. And then maybe I can help you. And then if I help them, dude, I feel better about myself. And then I walk in and you know, that and sounds then, selfish. Good.
You might tell them something. Some advice that it's easy to give your fucking friend and realize, oh shit, that's what I need to do.
Exactly.
Why can't I say that to myself?
Yeah, dude, it was there the whole time, right? It was there the whole time. Like, you've always had it internally. But when we get consumed with the fear and the anger or whatever emotion we're battling with, that goes right out the fucking window, dude. And we're all not immune to that. Like, you know, but you really are highlighting a very important point of, and same with what Rachel did. Is, you know, leaning out to those people, having a conversation, getting out of ourselves. So I think that was a great point, dude. And good job calling your sponsor, buddy. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I need to catch back up with him, actually.
We are on the clock.
Well, the other thing, yeah, so we don't need to go too deep into it, but your other episode, which if people didn't listen, they really need to, Ashley, your wife, his wife, I know you know she's your wife, but I was explaining to other people that she's your wife, wrote a list of things, a list of ways that you hurt her, when you were in active addiction, and man, like, I guess that's what's so valuable about NA and AA is there's people in there that have lived your story and are telling your story. And the things that you said to someone outside of addiction who doesn't deal with an addict is probably like, oh my God, that's fucking crazy. And to me, it was like the most standard issue shit. And yep. Also super fucking sad, dude. And it, you know, it hit close to home for me. It hit close to home for Kristen because we just kind of dealt with a lot of it recently. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, a lot of gaslighting, making your partner feel crazy, making them, one of the notes I have was like making them do weird homework or like side quests, like yeah. Ashley going to liquor stores to check and see if you've been there and stuff. The making up excuses to leave, dude. You said a phrase like, I have to get more alcohol now. And that is, once you start, that is what your brain screams, and it's by any means necessary. And it's going to rake the one leaf. Like you said, you like, I have to go do this now. And that's what's crazy about like popping that seal, that like phenomenon of craving is just like, you'll tell yourself, I'll just have one or two or whatever. And then as soon as it's gone, it's like, we need it now. And like fucking Zeus and Thor can stand between me and my truck and I will get in it. They will fucking move. I will move heaven and high water to get to the store. But just everything you were talking about, and dude, it's like, it's funny in a sick way, and it's super sad. And it's also just the thing is like, we turn into completely different people. And that's what Kristen got to see. Unfortunately, like, it's not me. It's not the person she knows. And the other thing that like I hate, I don't remember if you touched on it or not, but I was thinking about is like, I fucking, when I'm drinking, I lie before I have time to even realize what I'm saying. A lie is coming out of my mouth.
Absolutely.
Did you drink? No. Did you? No. And I'm like, why did I even just say that? It's so not true. Like, and I, it's just verbal diarrhea of fucking lies, dude.
Oh,
and like you said, like the gaslighting and stuff and making feel crazy, like it's rough, dude.
Well, I gotta fucking hair in my mouth, but, it was actually really hard to do. Yeah. You know, I had the idea, cause I was like, what am I gonna talk about this week? And I was like, you know what? I was like,
it's a fantastic idea.
I was like, write this down. Cause I can't get you on. You know what I mean? I was like, write this down. I'm going to do this. And, excuse me, dude, it sent me back, dude. Like, I'm glad that you brought up like the, I need alcohol feeling because dude, I literally can remember that feeling and reading those stories. I was almost like transported back to that time. Like, it was like, dude, like, okay.
I was too, just listening to you talk about it. Cause it's exactly the same.
Yeah, the greatest thing you said to me in the text, dude, is like my eyebrow literally didn't lift a millimeter listening to that, to any of those things, because I'm the same exact person. I was like, dude, it's so crazy. And I'm so glad that that you enjoyed it, man. But we do. This is the damage that we do. That's the name of that episode. We cause this fucking chaos. And I honestly didn't mean any of that stuff when I was in active addiction to hurt Ashley, right? Like, I didn't want to hurt anybody, but they did not quite understand what you just said 5 seconds ago, which was, I need to fucking drink alcohol, and you're not going to stop me from drinking fucking alcohol, and I'm going to go and get alcohol however I have to do it, whether that means you fucking stranded in the fucking house for fucking 6 hours not knowing where I'm going, you know, me hiding it everywhere in the fucking house, like the, it's the I love you, but you cannot stop this hurricane. I was Hurricane Helen, bro, and there was no stopping it, right? Like, it was a flash flood of Pabst and New Amsterdam, dude.
Not why were you Helen?
Who knows? I was Creering, dude, coming through, dude. There was no stopping it, though. But, dude, it's fucking crazy, right? And the thing that hurt me the most, dude, is, ready, I didn't even know that she slept in her car. She never told me that.
Dude.
She never told me that. She didn't want to come home and be with me in bed because I was such a fucking shit show that she's sleeping in her fucking car and then has to go to work the next day while I sit at home and start drinking at 5:30 in the morning. Like, what the fuck
and is that, bro? Give the people the other part. Is that she didn't go to her parents because she was embarrassed that she was in love with you and didn't leave you. Exactly. And that's why she wouldn't go to her parents' house to sleep.
And how wonderful that felt. That's really good to read out loud too, bud.
Giving me chills, bro. And the other one that's crazy, and I didn't do this specifically, but this kind of pattern of wild behavior where you took her fucking car because you didn't want the police to see your car because you have two DUIs. This is drunk Cree logic. And you have a fucking stick shift. So you leave her stranded with no car because criminal mastermind Cree man is not going to get caught up because he's in a car that's not registered to him. And not to mention his ID doesn't have his actual address on it. Like, the thinking and the, like, it's so backwards and fucked up and selfish and, like, wild. And I knew we were going to laugh about this, and we can laugh about it. It's fucking hilarious, but it's also, like, so fucked up, dude.
Dude, it's so fucked up, dude. And by the way, dude, hey, we could all laugh at fucking Criminal Mastermind Cree, but it worked. Ready? I never got that third one. I had plenty of cops behind me in that fucking red Civic. They never got me. Oh, but dude, yeah, it was hard to read, dude. And it makes the life, if we can turn it around, it makes the life that I have now that much sweeter, right? And it's a learning lesson for me because I tried to highlight it on the end. Like, dude, I get mad now when I talk to people in active addiction and they don't listen to my sound ass advice. But then I have to come back and, like, now I know that I'm just going to go back and listen to that episode. Right. Like, just be like, oh, hey, I remember a million people were trying to give me sound advice. You know what I mean? I wasn't listening. And I got to kind of go back to where I was in that point. No one could tell me shit and I wasn't ready. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be sitting here, to be honest with you. I'm grateful to be sitting here, you know, having a laugh with you, talking about recovery, talking about the old version of myself, right? And what's more fucking beautiful than that, bro? Like, I'm seriously, my heart is full of gratitude because even just sitting here thinking about it and talking about it again, like, dude, it can make me cry. Like, dude, I put everybody through hell, and I'm really glad that you mentioned the lying because, dude, I had like 27 personalities and 600 different stories. I couldn't tell a fucking a true statement when I was drinking if my life depended on it, bro. Like, nobody, you couldn't trust a fucking word I said, bro. Everything I said to you was a lie. Like, I'd meet someone on the street like, hey, my name's Jim Saucer and I'm a fucking multi-billionaire. Like, hey, dude, you want to drink a Pabst on the side of the road with me because I'm fucking lonely and I drink all day by myself? Like, dude, like just crazy shit, dude. And that's not true, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, man, powerful shit.
Another one you said was driving. You always just had to drive around like a drunk lunatic, and it reminded me of me hiding in parking lots. Like, I would just like sit and drink by myself in my vehicle in like a random parking lot because I probably didn't want to go to a bar because I didn't feel good. I was hiding from people that were looking for me. I didn't have anyone to hang out with because I, you know, burned my bridges and whatever else. And like, and then I would be like sitting in a parking lot drinking by myself in my vehicle. Like, what the fuck am I? What is this? Why do I want to do this? What's fun about this? Like, why am I here? But I have to hide from all my people because I know no one's going to be happy with what I'm doing. So I just sit by myself and drink in a parking lot in my truck.
Dude,
Dude,
when you think about that, I'm so glad that you were a fucking parking lot warrior like I was, dude. I would drive around neighborhoods. I'd have river spots, and then eventually someone would catch on to my fucking river spots, and then I'd have to find new ones, and then it'd be parking lots, and yeah, you're just hiding with alcohol in random locations because of the shame and the guilt that you have, dude. Yeah, the greatest time in the world, dude. Like that. Sign me up. Not. It's just fucking, it's so sad, dude. So sad. But yeah, I was a parking lot warrior too, bro.
So there we are. Those last two episodes are awesome. If you haven't checked them out, go do so now. And I want to apologize to you and the listener for not being so present yet again, but we are so back, baby. We got some good stuff on the slate coming up. We got some really dedicated listeners, and shout out to all our people in Canada. We got a lot of Canadians going on, eh? And shout out to all our people in Germany, Deutschland, eh? Yeah. I guess there's German Canadians that say Deutschland, eh? And I would like to announce that we are headed for 10,000 total plays. We will be there pretty soon. We're at around a little over 9,100. So that's pretty freaking rad. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting us. And there's one thing I got to touch on real quick, and we'll just get in and out of it. I don't really want to dwell on it because I've put you guys through this several times before. But just, you know, sake of honesty, that's what we do. I have not been clean the entire time since the elephant in the room episode. I had some more struggles. I am clean now. By the time this comes out, Lord willing, I'll have over 2 weeks, well over 2 weeks. Lord willing. But I just want to say about it. It's hard. It's very hard to come back. And you'll always hear this in the rooms and stuff. It's easier to stay. When you have a certain amount of time and you have something to protect and that you've worked on for a long time, it's easier to hold on to it. And then when you're starting over and you only have a few days and that devil gipper is still strong in your mind and you're still cloudy and you're not making decisions right and you get more frustrated, it's harder to hang on. So I am on the up and up. I am feeling great and doing very well now. But, you know, like I said, I struggled a little bit more after that episode. So I just wanted to put that out there. Again, collect evidence from me. It's not different. It's not better. And it's way fucking easier to stay than it is to come back. I've heard it a million times and I've experienced it a few times and it's so fucking true.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, we don't got to dwell on it. Like I said, I can tell you're back, bro. I can hear it in your voice. I can tell by your interactions. I imagine it is harder to come back, right? So I'm just glad like that. You know, the final little thing had to flip. Like, okay, hey, now I really do got to get back on. So whatever that catalyst was, I'm glad that it happened. And I'm glad.
Well, my mom came and stayed with me for 9 days. Shout out Deb. It did help. And it was like, you know, another thing I've been thinking about, and it's not the best way, and it's not the way, but it's a way. And I've talked about this on here before, I think, but I used to make myself little promises about when I could drink or whatever. And I do the same thing in reverse for sobriety. And so, like, I was like, well, I'm not going to drink while Deb's here. We're not coming home drunk to Deb and having Deb all up your ass, like, going crazy. So we'll just do that. And then when you hit that deadline, make another little deadline. Well, my home group's tomorrow. So tomorrow I gotta be sober for that. And then, well, we're going to Pittsburgh this weekend. And, you know, my wife, I love her and I don't want to make her mad. So I'll stay. And then you just keep pushing the goalpost back. If that's what you have to do, like whatever you have to do to fucking make it work, do it. Because all these little tricks that whatever you can do to make it work. And that's kind of what I did. And again, huge shout out to my mom. Her and Kristen talked. I was struggling and Kristen was like, hey, your mom's coming. She thought I was going to be pissed. And I was like, cool, I love my mom. This should be good. My mom fucking helped us so much. She helped me do a bunch of stuff. Super positive, loving, mom loved, baking cookies, cooking dinners, fucking laundry, all that stuff. Like, it was incredible. So huge, huge, huge shout out to my mom. Thank you. She definitely is the catalyst for me being better and getting back on my shit. And I really, really appreciate her coming out and loving me and supporting me as always.
Hell yeah. Shout out Deb, dude. We love you, Deb. And thank you for flying all the way out there and getting my man back on the straight and narrow. I appreciate you. You know, that's that mom love that never goes away. But yeah, dude, I will highlight one more thing before we wrap up, because my wife has been on my ass since 5:50 a.m. about this goddamn fingerprinting thing that she's got to do for my daughter's school field trip. I love your, hey, I can't drink today because, you know, I got Deb here, and that's going to be an inconvenience, right? And it comes back to these little sayings that I always hear. Like, it sounds so cheesy, but it's like 1 minute at a time if we need to do it, right?
Yeah.
One hour at a time, you know, 2 hours at a time, whatever you got to do to get yourself through that 15, 16 hours. Cause I love that about Randall Brown when he says that it's really just 15 or 16 hours, depending on how much you sleep. And so all you got to do is just get through that. And I love that you have those little things set up in your mind, dude, because ready every day, there's a reason to stay sober. You just got to find it and you just got to keep pushing for it. So I'm proud of you, brother. I love you very much. And it's so good to have you back, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's good to be back. It really does feel good. All right. Bucks versus the Falcons. Dirty Birds. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Bucks.
You're going Dirty Birds? I'm going Bucks too. Bucks. The Falcons are favored, and I don't know why. I actually bet Bucks money line. So we got the Bucks. And your boys play who? Your boys play
Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Offense, dog shit quarterback, excellent defense.
I think
spread is Broncos minus 2.5.
Well, because of the Devontae Adams bullshit.
I think
they actually win that game. I think they win that game.
Okay, good. I couldn't. I don't know that they do, but I was hoping you wouldn't say you were going to lose to the Broncos. That would be a sad day. The 49ers are 7.5-point favorites over the Cardinals. I think they smash them. Kyler Murray had trouble with the Commanders defense, which is one of the worst defenses in the league. So they're getting their cheeks blown out, and that's a guarantee.
All right. Yeah. I think so. I think so too. I'm actually going to stand with you on that one. I think you beat the Cardinals, even though a division game.
Sunday night football, Cowboys Steelers, dog shit versus fake good dog shit.
Cowboys
a little bounce back. I don't know, dude. I think the Steelers D gives them all they can handle, but yeah, I'll go with you. Cowboys bounce back. Cowboys. All right. What else do you have a Crewins quote, or are we getting the fuck out of here?
I don't have a Crewins quote, but I do have one shout out. I want to shout out my aunt and uncle, Sarah and Mark. Mark is actually my cousin David, who was on this show. His dad, both in recovery. Right. Sarah hit us up on the Rude Dude Instagram, which please hit us up on there. Message us. We'd love to chat. She hit us up saying she's been going back through every single episode, listening, was just talking about how much she loves the fucking podcast. So I just wanted to shout her out and say thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot to us.
I also saw the message. It was very sweet, very much appreciated. And thank you for saying I'm funnier than Cameron.
She didn't fucking say that. She said Henry's hilarious is all she said.
She didn't mention that you were funny. So
yeah, that's actually a fact. That's true.
And while we're at it, my boy Durka asked for a shout out. He probably won't listen, but what's up, Durka? And we're also going to do some very special shout outs to Austin, my buddy Austin R, different Austin, not Austulator, but I'm also going to shout out the Austulator, Brandon, Weiss, and Hayden. These are my people. These are the people who were checking on me. These are the people who held the little intervention for me, and that call me every day. Call me every day. See how I'm doing. Yeah, Cameron, I called him to invite him to the intervention. He ripped a hole in my ass. It was fantastic.
Scorched earth,
dude. But I appreciate you guys, and I love you guys. And that's how the fuck we do it. Austin Ostulator has been texting me and being like, hey, man, how you doing? What's going on? And then he's like, are we going to get Lobster back on the pod soon? I'm like, yes, sir. We're recording today and we will be back. We're all the way back. And he's like, I'm glad to have you back, dude. I love you. So little messages and support like that means the fucking world to me. I appreciate my people for loving me through my ups and downs. And obviously, again, my mom, dad, sister. So thank you guys. I love you guys.
Yeah, and I don't even need to add anything to that. That's fantastic. Yeah, I was in contact with a few of those people. I was talking with Austin and Brandon and shit. So
see,
people
fighting in my corner behind the scenes, worried about a real motherfucker like me.
You didn't even know it was happening, dude. we were planning the fucking SWAT strike, dude, the whole time, dude. It was coming, dude.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right, I got to get the fuck out of here before I fucking end up being divorced. Follow us on Instagram. I'm posting reels daily now. I am in charge of it. If you haven't followed us there, please follow us there. Like I said, send us a message, dude. We'll screenshot it. I'll put you on the fucking story if you want. If you have any questions for us, like
Cameron is social media.
Yeah. If you have any questions for us, like you want to, hey, you have an idea for the show or fucking anything like that, please reach out to us. We will respond. We love to talk. Shout out to the Canadians. Shout out to the Germans. Shout out to everybody who has been a big part of this podcast. Thank you for almost getting us to 10K downloads. Five stars. Share it with a friend. You guys are actually doing it because we're spreading like wildfire. So I love you all, and I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. It's so good to have you back. I can't wait for Dr. Bob to make me feel like a fucking idiot next week, dude.
His name is Dr. B, and his name is Kevin Blankenship.
He's Dr. Bob to me, dude. You can tell, dude, we've been talking so much recovery.
Dr. Bob!
I'm in the book, dog. Oh,
I just broke my chair. Oh, shit. All right.
Dr.
Well,
Bob Blankenship. How's it going, bud?
Shout out Dr. Bob, dude. I love you too, Cree. And remember, shout out Dr. Bob and be yourself and fuck what they think.
Talk to you next week, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby guy.
Lyrics awry. Oh, no. Check it out.